All right. You hear me well? Very good. First of all, thank you very much, Angelique, for inviting me to talk about the things that actually have a passion about this. I hope that at the end of the class, we're gonna have something new, something different, a different idea, perspective on how to look at things, on how to look at the world, how to look at God, how to look at ourselves. This is my objective, so to speak. Sometimes it's good when you start something new, like just to know where you're here heading to. I hope we reach. This is point number one. Point number two, the truth is that we're only going to touch, it's like drops of water out of an ocean. Literally that. Not only because there's a lot of material in quantity, but there's a lot of material in quality also. It's not black and white. It's not easy. It's not. There are literally thousands of pages written about these subjects from different perspectives, these different ideas, different languages, different ways of expressing it. So we're just going to touch a few ideas. And hopefully it's going to be enough to get started. This is point number two. Point number three, basically, we're going to touch upon three levels of understanding. What does that mean? I'm not talking about mysticism, and even though this also touches on mysticism, of course, I'm not talking about like different levels that the mystics talk about. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about three levels of understanding, the same thing. You can look at it in three deeper levels. Each one is deeper than the other one. What does that mean? That means that one level does not take out the other level. It doesn't mean that one steps up upon the other and says, okay, whatever we say until now, forget it, it's not true. Let's go to the next level. No. Everything is true at the same time. It's just how you look at it. That's the only difference. So let's, no further ado, let's start. There's a famous verse in Torah. It's in Parshas Vayeshanan. The verse, I'm going to say it in Hebrew, and of course I'm going to translate everything, hopefully. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. The simple translation, I'm not going to go into deep things. We're going to go do this later, but right now, simple translation is here. Israel, which means people, the people that were listening to Moshe speaking, hear God, our Lord. God is one. That's what it means. Okay, so simple level of understanding, which is not one of the three steps.
I'm sorry.
What? Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm here. So the simple meaning, which is not of the steps we're going to learn, God hopefully. Simple meaning means, okay, there's one God. You might have thought there are five gods, 10 gods, whatever, 2 gods, doesn't matter. The number you want to say, okay, you should know, people, there's only one. Okay, thank you so much. We finished. We can finish the class. There's only one God. Okay, this is the most simple way to translate this verse, but there's a big, huge problem with this way of translating, which is what is going to introduce us to a deeper level of understanding. And then the deeper and the deeper and the deeper. What's the problem with this verse? Okay, so let's say there's only one God. There's no true, no two, no three, no five. It's just one. Okay. Ask yourself a very simple question. What's the world? Okay, the world, whatever. I open my eyes, I see my world, a world around myself. I see myself, I see something that is actually existent, because I cannot say I don't exist. Like Descartes used to say, think and then you exist. Okay, I think. Let's say I'm somewhat smart, whatever. I think I exist. I'm here. The world is here. So God is here and the world is here. God is here. I am here. So actually, how many things, so to speak, are there in the world? At least two, God and me. So let's say there's a world also. Okay, there are three things. God, the world, and me. So my neighbor, okay, it's four things. You can start adding up things, how many things are there actually in the world. But there's a problem with this. Why? Because if we say God is everywhere. God has all the power, almighty, powerful, etc., etc. But there are other things, like myself, so God is not fully all-powerful, because I have power over myself, over me, and then there's God, and there's me. God has to have a limit where he finishes and I start. And then I have a limit. I know I start here, I finish here, and then something else comes up. So it comes out that if you really think that the verse is saying there's only one God, not two, not three, not four, etc., etc., the problem is, so God then is not infinite. Now, if the verse is talking about the number of gods that there are over there, that's only one, it's not infinite. There's a world, there's a tuvia, there's a whatever, there's a computer, there's all kinds of things. So the verse has to be meaning something more, a deeper thing. And maybe the verse is talking about not that there's one God, that actually the only thing that there's around is God. He is actually everything. But that then, I have a problem with that idea. What am I? I'm not God. I know that I'm not God. Maybe somebody else is. I'm not. But so what is him and what is me? Where am I? What am I? That's why the title for the talk was like, okay, one God or one existence. It's not the same thing. One God means, okay, like most of the people think that, okay, there's one God, no two, no three. The Torah says, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Echad. There's only one God. But there's a deeper thing. There's one existence. Okay, so let's take it so far. Okay, but again, the question is, what am I? This is what we're going to start dealing with and start digging into deeper ideas. First idea is, okay, let's say, look, there's a world. I cannot say there's no world because I'm here. I feel myself, I see the world around me, etc., etc. So there's a world, but this world depends completely on a spiritual world. This world doesn't depend on itself. It's not independent of God. Rather, it depends completely on something spiritual. How do you see this? Okay, one of the examples that is given in the writings is like this. It's a deep example, but it's not so difficult to understand. Let's take the example of sweetness. Sweetness. You can say, okay, I take a sweet apple, and it tastes sweet to the tongue. It's nice, sweet, fine. Okay, but then, let's go a little bit higher. There's a sweet voice. You can say, wow, this guy sings, or this girl, whatever, it's the same thing, sings very sweet. Really? Sweet? What do you mean? You taste the voice? No, but it sounds like sweet. Then you can go even deeper. You have a sweet feeling. Like when the husband brings, I talk about husbands because I'm a man. So don't get me wrong. Everything is the same, men, women. But like when the husband brings a flower to the wife. Oh, what a sweet thing. Really? Is that sweet? It doesn't really taste. It's just a feeling. It's not. Or then you can have a sweet idea. When you explain something in a nice way that everything fits in its place and you really understand, it says, ah, you say, it's a sweet thinking. But really, thinking is not sweet, and feeling is not sweet, voices are not sweet, an apple, you can say it's sweet. So where does it come from? There's a spiritual idea that is called chesed, the kindness of God. That's the real source, spiritual source, of anything you could call sweet. From there, you start going down, level after level, after level, after level, after level. Then you have a sweet apple, which is a physical thing. But then you can see that the same sweetness can express itself in a spiritual way, a voice, a feeling, an idea. So with this idea, we can start understanding a little bit better what does the world mean. The world actually is a physical expression of something that actually happens in a spiritual world. That's what the world is. So who am I? Actually, my main expression is my soul, not me. Like, what difference does it really make if I have hair on my head or not? Doesn't make any difference. But my soul is, it's built in such a way that it expresses itself on me, on this body. Then, without entering into the details, because really it's not the issue that we're talking about, then you can have the same soul in a different body. We believe in reincarnation, Gilgulim, whatever. A soul goes up and down, many times to fulfill the mission in the world. So you have the same soul that expresses itself in a different body. Like when you see somebody smiling, why is he smiling? Because actually, who's happy? Like the lips are happy? Like the flesh is happy? No, the soul is happy for whatever reason, doesn't matter. That expresses itself on the face. So you can see the face of the person and you say, hey, this guy is happy. Or this guy is opposite of happy, whatever, happiness. This guy is sad. In any case, what this means is that the first level of understanding is, okay, there's a physical world. Yeah, I open my eyes, I see a physical world. But wait a second. This world is not 100% true. What does that mean? It's not 100% true. It doesn't depend on itself. It's completely annulated, so to speak, completely given to something spiritual. Things happen in the spiritual world, and they express, those things express themselves in this physical world. Like the happiness of a person happens actually in the soul, and they express itself in the face. Of course, you can have actors and you can have characters. That's fine. That's for the movies, and it's okay. No problem with that. But in a regular life, when you smile, supposedly you're happy. When you don't smile, let's say you're not so happy, whatever. Okay, this is the first level of understanding. So, who is God? Oh, he is like the spiritual source of everything. And from him, everything expresses itself in different levels. Like we spoke, the intellect, then you have emotions, then you have a voice. There's something more, a little bit more physical than feelings and intellect. And then you have the sweetness of an apple, which is a physical, real physical thing. This is the first level of understanding. Now, before going to the second one, if the source would be revealed right here, like where the apple is, then the apple wouldn't be able to be sweet. It wouldn't have space, so to speak, not physical space, like space, like a spiritual space. I'll explain this with an example in a second. If the source would be revealed over here, then the physical world wouldn't exist. It is like, just an example, suppose there's a big, big professor of something, whatever, physics or something, the Nobel Prize of physics of the whatever, and he comes into a room where there's a teacher, physics teacher, trying to teach physics to whatever, to a group of boys, group of girls, in the first grade, second grade, whatever case is. As soon as this Nobel Prize walks into the room, the teacher shuts up. Like, I can't say anything because this guy knows so much more than me. What am I going to say? I better shut up. The teacher becomes completely annulled because there's somebody that really knows about this subject. I have nothing to say. I'm sorry. Actually, it's one of the teachings of our sages, that somebody that who's a chacham, who's a wise guy, you don't talk in front of somebody that really knows more than you. Just shut up, you know? Let him talk. Let her talk. She knows about this. I don't know about this. So, with this example, we can see that the source, God, spiritual world, whatever, has to be concealed in order to give space, so to speak, quote-unquote space, for the world, for the physical world, to be able to exist. And actually, this is God's will, that he conceals himself to give us room to exist. And this idea that I just said is going to accompany us through all the levels of understanding. After all, this is his will, that he wants to be concealed. And again, after all, what he wants is that for us to reveal him. How do you do that? Through the fulfillment of each of the commandments, 7 commandments for non-Jews, 613 commandments for Jews, whatever the case is, whatever the method is, the tools are, is what he wants, to be concealed, for us to reveal him, to be conscious of him, to think about him, to know him, to study him, etc., etc. So, what do we have until now? The first level of understanding. What is the world? The world is just physical expression of something spiritual. The things really happen in spiritual worlds. Then they express over here. And of course, you cannot say, then I don't have a free will. But no. In your soul, you have free will. So just the expression of your soul is here, in this body, in this world, in these times, etc., in this place, wherever you live. Okay. And who's God? He's the real source of everything. He is the real one that exists. What does it mean to exist? To have independent existence. He doesn't depend on anything else to exist. And we, everything else, depends on him to exist. Okay, but it's hidden. We don't see this. We can know about this. Actually, we're talking about this, but we don't see him. Okay, this is the first level of understanding. Let's go a little bit deeper. Next level of understanding is, okay, let's look a little bit into the text. The text, when you open the Torah, when you open the Bible, whatever you want to call it, doesn't matter. You see at the real beginning, that God said and created things. In Hebrew, it's Vayomer Elokim Yehi Or. God said there should be light, there should be this, there should be that, whatever. He said, he spoke. What do you mean he spoke? God doesn't have mouth. There's no such a thing as a mouth. There's no such a thing as a body for God. Which is actually, this takes us to the beginning of the talk. God doesn't have a limit. If he doesn't have a limit, that's the definition of God, so he cannot have a body. Because a body limits something to a specific space, time, etc. And God is not limited to space and not limited to time. So what does that mean when the Torah, when the Bible says, God spoke and said, this should be, that should be? The text is giving us a deeper level of understanding of what the world actually is. The world is the Word of God. What does that mean? The idea is like this. Just as when you talk, the moment you're actually using your strength to produce words, your words are heard, and somebody can benefit from it, whatever, or the opposite, whatever the case is, the same thing happens to God. It's not that this world is an expression of a spiritual thing, and the spiritual thing is over there, whatever it is, and it expresses in the in a physical way, no. You don't understand. The world is constantly, microsecond after microsecond, nanosecond after nanosecond, being created from God. Second by second. And whatever, I just say second to take a number. It doesn't really matter. Nano, micro, whatever number you want to put. That's why the expression that the text uses for creation is Vayomer. He spoke. How do we see this? Okay, we see this like in the following way. Take a stone. Just a parenthesis before this example. This is an example that is written in our like Hasidic texts. The example has a small problem. The problem with the example is that there's something called gravity, and we know that, for instance, a stone is on the earth because there's a power of gravity whatever holding the stone and this and that. That's fine. It's just a model to understand a phenomenon. I'm going to give a different one, which does not say this other model doesn't mean that the gravity is not true. No. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying a different model. Just saying a different idea that you can see from a fact. The fact is that the stone is in the ground. Okay. This said, this disclaimer given, let's go to the model. The idea is like this. When you have a stone, the stone is in the floor. The natural state of a stone is to be in the floor. Again, why gravity? Okay, we know that, but let's leave that just aside for a second. This natural state of a stone is to be in the floor. Okay, so you take a stone and you throw it. What happens? The stone flies. Until when? Until your force, like physics, the vector applied to the stone, until the stone, your force, I'm sorry, gets, so to speak, consumed, whatever, because of gravity, okay, we know that, but whatever, gets consumed, and the stone goes back to its natural state, on the ground, on the floor. Let's take, so to speak, a picture when the stone is flying, did the stone become a flying stone? The answer is no. What do you mean a flying stone? There's no such a thing as flying stone. Why is the stone flying? Because there's a power applied, force applied to the stone that makes the stone go out of its natural state. The stone flies, okay? It's gonna change some at some point. When this force stops being there, it's going to change. If, for whatever reason, physically it doesn't exist, but if this force would be infinite, like constantly applied on the stone, so the stone would be constantly flying. But not because this stone became a flying stone. There's no such a thing. The stone is being taken out of its natural state to fly. Okay, so let's take this example and apply it to the world. God created the world in 6 days, and then seventh day he rested, whatever that means. Oh, very nice. That means that the world exists and it's something over there, like a physical thing? The answer is no. How do you know that it's not the way? Because God spoke and created the world. What does that mean? So try speaking. You're going to talk, then you're going to get tired and say, wait a second, I need to breathe. So you breathe and you continue talking. And there's a moment, like in any feedback situation, that you shut up and you listen to the other one. If you talk the whole day, it's like boring. Shut up a little bit. Let somebody else talk. Okay. With God, with him writing in the text, I'm creating this in a way of talking. God spoke and this became and that became whatever the case is. He's teaching us how the world actually is, what the world actually is. The world is God's word being spoken. There's a verse in Psalms, I think it's 119. Forever, God, your word is standing firm over there in the heavens. That's what the verse says. What does that verse mean? It means that God is, so to speak, constantly speaking. It's not that he created the world at some point, 5,000 and whatever the number is, of years before, and then the world continues being for whatever reason, because it's there. If nobody breaks it, it's there. No. God is constantly creating. So before, in the first level, we thought, okay, look, the world, the physical world, is a thing that actually is an expression of something spiritual, but that thing spiritual actually exists. It is something. God created something, and it expresses itself in a physical way. God hides himself for that physical expression to be able to exist, and the world is over there. Now, we're seeing something different, a little bit deeper, not something opposite, contradictory, no, but it's a little bit deeper. The world is constantly being created. The world, actually, is God's word being constantly spoken. The same idea that we said before. God hides himself. We don't see him speaking. He hides himself for us to exist. This is what he wants, for us to exist over here, to fulfill his will, whatever the case is. The same idea, it's still true. But now we understand a little bit deeper that the world actually is not a spiritual thing that expresses itself in a physical way. No. There's no thing. What do you mean thing? It's only God speaking. This is what it means. This is what the world is. And if God is speaking, the world exists. God is not speaking, the world ceases to exist as if it never existed. As if it never existed. There's a story that they say about the Alter Rebbe. The Alter Rebbe was Rabbi Shneur Zalman of Liadi. Is It's the founder of Hasidic Chabad, of the Hasidic world, whatever, of Chabad, Chabad Lubavitch. He actually didn't live in Lubavitch, but whatever, Lubavitch came afterwards. But the story is that he was laying in his bed right before passing away, and he was like laying down and looking at the roof. And he said to the people around him, I don't see the roof anymore. I see the word of God creating the roof. Like moments before passing away, he reached such a high level of whatever consciousness of godliness that he didn't see things. He didn't see the world, like the physical world. He saw how God was creating constantly whatever physical thing, the roof or the things were there in the roof. This is the second level of understanding of what the world is. Very nice. But there's a problem with this idea, and this is going to take us a little bit deeper, which is like the most, maybe you could say, like mind-boggling idea, but whatever, this is what the Hasidic masters teach us. All of that we said, it's nice, it's okay, but still there's something like smells bad. What smells bad? We spoke about a spiritual world expressing itself in a physical world. The spiritual world is like something. It exists, whatever. The soul and the sweetness of God, chesed, whatever that is. Okay. Then we said, no, there's something deeper. Words. Words of God. Oh, the words of God. Okay. But wait a second. When I talk, like human being, regular human being, when I talk, my words go out of myself. Like, I'm talking right now, whatever, in front of a computer, and you're hearing my voice through computers and internet and blah, blah, blah. Okay, but I'm talking, like, outside of myself. My voice is heard by somebody else outside of me. If I don't want to transmit, like, give over something, I can shut up my mouth and I can think, whatever, I can start thinking the whole day, and my words are, like, in my mind, and that's fine. When I want somebody else to hear me, to share something with me, I have to go, so to speak, out of myself to share something for somebody else out of me. You are not me, I'm not you, whatever. I'm sharing something, sharing an idea. That's fine. But with God, it doesn't work like that. What do you mean? Is there anything else out of God? Doesn't really sound. We go back to phase number one. If there's one God and there's a world and there's a God, no. The only thing that there is God. So where are those words that God speaks, talks, says? The truth is, when you really dig deep into it, everything is like inside of God. There's no such a thing as something out of God. There's no such a thing. Because again, God is infinite. He's everywhere. He's everything. So we, okay, what are we? First we thought we're a spiritual thing. Okay. Then we thought we're God's word. Okay. But what is it again? I'm also God. Not that I'm God. I'm Tuvia. I'm a regular human being. But I'm also not a part of God. What do you mean a part of God? There's no such a thing as something outside of God. So these words that we spoke about, it's like, not 100% like that, but it's like words of thought. When you're thinking, your thought is inside of your mind. Like, if you want to think of, I don't know, a cup of coffee, say what, some anything, whatever, doesn't matter, it's just an example. So the cup of coffee, imagine a cup of coffee in your mind, it's inside your head, and the coffee and in the whatever, the steam coming up, and then the color of the coffee and the smell of the coffee. And do you really have a cup of coffee? No. It's in your mind. But is the cup of coffee physically inside your mind? Of course not. Otherwise, you would have like a huge head. I have cows and coffees and computers. And, okay, you can't have such a big head. And you have the whole world inside your head. It's impossible. It's like a thought of a cup of coffee, a house, a cow, whatever the case is, whatever you want to think about. The example given in the Hasidic texts is like a ray of the sun. It's like a very subtle example. It's like a ray of the sun. And the example goes like this. We, in the earth, we enjoy the sun's rays. The sun light and sun heat, whatever. We enjoy that. Okay, very nice. But the sun is really like far from the earth. I don't know how many millions of kilometers, whatever the case is, whatever the number is. It's really far. We only enjoy its rays. Of course, if the sun would be closer to the earth, we would all burn. It's impossible. And if the sun would be further from the earth, it would be like everything cold. So the earth is in a perfect place where it has to be. Perfect, nice, God knows what he's doing. But the case is, we enjoy the ray of the sun. The ray of the sun, it's like the sun. It shines just like the sun shines. If it would be that the sun would be, I don't know, blue, so the ray would be blue also. But the sun happens to be some white or yellowish thing, I don't know, doesn't matter. It's like a fire, whatever. It's a big ball of helio, I don't know how to say that in English, but whatever the case is, it's a sun, it's a star, that's what it is. It's a burning thing, okay. So, like a burning bush. So, the ray of the sun, outside of the sun, behaves just like the sun, shows up and expresses the sun, whatever the sun is. Now, if the ray of the sun is outside the sun, for sure, this is how the example is written in the text. This is in the second part of the Tanya, if you want to look at it. It's very interesting. It's called Shara Ichud Be'emunah. This is the portal, something like that, of unity and faith. That's what it means. That's what it's called, second part of the Tanya. I recommend to read that. It's not easy text, but whatever. You can break your mind over it. It's nice to exercise the mind a little bit. This example is written over there. So if the ray of the sun is outside the sun, for sure it's also inside the sun. Otherwise, where does it come from? It comes from the sun. So if my ideas, like I'm talking about God's unity. Okay, if I'm talking about this, it better be in my mind. Otherwise, I don't know what I'm talking about. Like you cannot put a teacher to talk about mathematics if he doesn't know mathematics. So he better knows mathematics and then you put him to teach mathematics. Same thing happens with the ray of the sun and the sun. If the ray of the sun is outside the sun, so, hello, has to be inside the sun also. Okay, but wait a second. Inside the sun, is it a ray of sun or is it sun? It's the sun. The ray of the sun doesn't have a existence by itself, like separated from the sun, independent of the sun, not outside the sun and not inside the sun. Inside the sun, the ray is not ray, it's sun. Then when it goes out of the sun, it becomes a ray of the sun, which expresses the sun, the color of the sun, the heat of the sun, etc., etc. That's fine. So in the second level that we spoke about, we're like the ray of the sun outside the sun. We are God's word. He is creating us constantly. It's like the sun bursting forth a ray, with the color of the sun, with the shape of the sun, whatever God wants us to be. Fine. But the real existence of the ray of the sun is inside the sun, not outside the sun. That's where this ray becomes actually sun. And for God, there's no such a thing as outside God. It's not that he speaks and his words come outside. To whom? There's nobody else. It's just him. So our existence, what are we? Actually, we are rays of the sun inside the sun. We are like, God is not a sun, whatever. We're not pagan or idolaters of the sun, no way. But it's just an example. We are like, just as the ray of the sun inside the sun is sun and it's not ray, we are exactly that. But the only difference between the ray of the sun inside the sun, who is actually sun and not ray, the difference between that and us is that God, even though we live, so to speak, quote-unquote, inside God, there's no such a thing as outside God, even though that's true, he wants us to feel that we actually exist. To the point that somebody could say, God doesn't exist. What do you mean? I exist, he doesn't exist. Do you see him? I don't see him. You could say that. Somebody could say that. Chas v'shalom, God forbid, but somebody could say that. There are people that consider themselves atheists, okay? And God, even so, creates them. Doesn't matter. That's his patience and his greatness, his kindness. That even somebody that opposes him, he continues creating him. Like the regular rational mind would say, if you're against me, out. I destroy you. I don't like you. I don't want you. You're out. Out of the game. If you don't follow the rules of the game, you're out. But God doesn't behave like that. He constantly waits for us to open our eyes and say, hello, who am I? and who are you? And thank you for creating me and giving me the opportunity of talking about you. Okay, so let's go back. The real existence of everything is just God. He is the one that really exists. And he hides himself from his own words, so to speak, quote unquote, from his own thoughts, from his own creation, because after all, we are a creation, but we live and exist within him. There's no such a thing as outside God. But again, just like to end the idea, his will is that we feel ourselves as independent things, independent beings, which actually, this is one of the, it's a deep thing, but I'll try to express it as simple as possible. The fact that we have free will as human beings, like dogs don't have free will. They're dogs, whatever, they do what dogs do. We have free will. Why is that? Because we are directly related to the essence of God. He actually is the only one that has real free will. He does whatever he wants. Like, I can't fly because I'm a human being and I don't have wings. I can't fly. So even though I can say, I could shut down my computer and stop talking to you. Oh, I have free will. But I don't have free will to do anything I want. No, I have a limit. The limit of a human being. He doesn't have any limit at all. And the fact that we feel like eternal, we feel independent, we feel like we don't need anybody. Why is that? Because we're directly related to his essence. He is the one that feels like that way. And when we are created directly from him, and that's why we feel also that way. Animals and the rest of the creation doesn't feel that way, because they're not created directly from his essence. Whatever, it's a deep thing. It's a deep thought. But the mind-boggling idea is that actually the only thing that exists is him, and we actually live within him. Within him. Maybe an example, maybe, which is not perfect, but it's just an example, is like a writer. When a writer writes a novel, he creates characters, and this character is a man, and this one is a woman, and this one hits this one, and this one this does, and it's a whole story. And this one said this, and this one said that. All the story, the whole thing, is inside the mind of the writer. And then he actually has to write it, and somebody edits it, and somebody says, hey, it's interesting, it's not interesting, whatever the case. But at the beginning, the story is in the mind of the writer. And the writer actually gives life to each one of the characters. The good writers write, and you can see this guy is living, this person is actually, and you can identify with this person, you say, actually, I feel like him. It's a bunch of words in paper, or it's a bunch of words in the mind of some writer. That's what it actually is, but it seems like an existence, which is not. Okay, so do we exist? Let's go back to point number one. Do we exist? Yes and no. Yes, we exist because God wants us to feel that we exist. For what? For us to work on ourselves to reach God, actually. To go back to him, so to speak. But do we really exist? Are we really independent? And we don't need anything else to exist? No, the answer is no. Everything actually, the only thing that exists, everything is God. It's just him. Depends on how you see it, how deep you want to go into understanding that actually your life is also God's life. But he wants you, each one of us, of course, to live your life and to have free will and to do your best. Okay, sometimes we fall, sometimes we stand up, whatever. We do our best. I hope each one of us does our best. But in any case, the real existence is God. So is it right, just to go back to the beginning, like to close the idea, and then of course I'm open to questions, etc. Is it right to say that there's only one God? The answer is yes. Wait a second. Yes. The text says, Shema Israel, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Here, Israel, God, our God, God the Lord, whatever, God is one. That it's okay to say there's one God and there's no true, no two, no three, no four. That's fine. But it's just a very shallow understanding, very simple understanding that sometimes, many times, we need simple understanding of things. That's okay. It's not a problem. But there are deeper ideas behind it. The deepest idea is actually the only thing that exists is God. And we exist within Him. Within Him. We're like thoughts of His mind. And if you wanna go even deeper, which is it's a difficult thought, but whatever, even deeper than that, it's a note of one of the Rebbeim, of the rabbis of Chabad. It's a note on a Hasidic discourse of another rabbi. Like, it's a very small thing, but it's also like mind-blowing. The whole creation is like God talking to Himself. There's no such a thing as God talking to somebody else. There's no somebody else. There's no anything else besides Him. So the whole creation, and this like touching into some mystical ideas, that it really doesn't matter if you don't understand all the ideas. It's just for whoever understands, fine. Whoever doesn't understand, it doesn't matter. What's the Oire in Soif? What's the infinite light? Like the text talk, the infinite light of God and the infinite this and the infinite that. You know what it is? It's God talking to Himself. Or even deeper, God thinking to Himself. Like sometimes you think to deliver a talk. So you have to think, what am I going to say? I'm not going to say this, I'm going to say that. I'm going to give this example, that example. So you're thinking, but actually you're thinking towards somebody else, for somebody else. Like a teacher, when he has to teach small children a difficult subject, so the teacher tries to think, okay, what am I going to say? Because these kids don't understand anything, they don't know anything. So I'm going to cut here, cut here, cut here. I'm just going to say this point. And that's it. I'm going to tell a nice story, and that's it. And the kids are going to be happy. It's fine. So he's thinking, it's true, but he's thinking towards somebody else understanding. But then there's like the teacher thinking for himself. I'm not going to share this idea with anybody. I don't want to understand it. So forget it. I don't need anybody else. It's just for me. I want to learn. I want to understand this. So you think in your terms, you think in your level, whatever the level of knowledge you have, and you don't like, this is called, for whomever knows about this subject, whatever, this is called tzimtzum. Tzimtzum is called like contraction, whatever that means, doesn't matter. The point is, when you're thinking for yourself, you're thinking in your level. When you're thinking for somebody else, you're thinking in somebody else's level. The same thing happens to God. The whole creation actually is His thought for Himself. Then, from that thought that He thought for Himself, starts like bringing down thought for somebody else. Then from a thought, a word. Then from the word, a spiritual world. And from the spiritual world, the physical world. So we went back like from the end to the beginning. All the steps are true at the same time. This world is a world. What do I mean? It's true. I'm true. I know I'm true. I'm here. So all the levels are true at the same time. The only difference is from which perspective do you want to look at it? From your perspective? From God's perspective? From the angel's perspective? From a deeper perspective? From Hasidic perspective? Whatever the case is, can you say God is one? Yes, you can say that. Is the only thing that this verse means? No. There's a lot more. There's a lot more to the point of God teaching us, hey guys, the only one that exists is me. And because I want you to exist, you're there. If I don't want you to exist, forget it. You're not there. You're not there. With this idea, just to close, with this idea, something like this became like more famous a few years ago with COVID and everybody closed, etc., etc. And everybody was asking, why does God allow this? Like, there's such a small thing like COVID, whatever. I don't know how much it measures actually. It's really complicating everybody's life. Besides the people that Loya Leinu passed away, whatever. This is really complicating life. such a small thing. Why does God allow this to happen? Or any difficult stage in life, in human history, why does God allow this to happen? The question, I'm sorry to say it like this, but the question is a stupid question. What do you mean allow to happen? Do you think anything happens besides what he wants to happen? You're wrong. The question is wrong. You can ask, why is God doing this? Oh, that's a good question. I don't know the answer. Most of the times, we don't know the answer. Okay, such a person passed away, such a tragedy happened. Okay, I don't know why. I don't know. I'm a simple human being. I don't understand God. But I can tell you one thing for sure. This happened because he wanted this to happen. And not only that, he is constantly creating this tragedy happening at the time it is happening. Do I like it? Most of the times, no. Of course, if you dig in your backyard and you find the whole thing, casket full of gold, you say, "Hey, I'm happy. God, thank you so much. This is so good." And I'm not gonna ask why. Thank you. In the best case, in the worst case, I'm not even gonna say, "Hey, thank you." I'm just gonna say, "Okay, I bought this house to have gold, whatever, it has gold. I deserve it." Whatever the case is. But you're not gonna ask why. But it's God constantly creating that thing, whatever the thing is, for the good and for not so good. The question, the valid question is, I don't understand, I don't like it. That's a good question. I don't like it. I want God to change this, but just the recognition of God creating everything, every nanosecond, gives you the idea that God is also creating this tragedy. Again, I don't know why, and let no human being in the whole earth have any tragedy whatsoever. Never. But the reality is that things happen in the world. You can ask why, but you cannot say, why does God let this happen? Why is God doing this? You can ask. He's doing everything all the time. This is one like practical idea that comes out of understanding that the only thing that exists is God. And all the creation is God constantly creating his creation. That's the like a drop of water out of an ocean. I'm open to questions. Wow, either nobody understood anything, forget it, or was clear.
Well, it's really complex ideas, and